Welcome back to the Business of Biotech, Cell and Gene Therapy Special Edition with yours truly, Matt Piller, and my dear associate, Aaron Harris, Chief Editor at Cell and Gene, holding down the fort in her home office over in Philadelphia. Aaron, great to see you.
Same to you, Matt.
So today we're talking about a startup's antibody cell conjugation and chimeric antigen receptor therapies with Ace Podia CEO, President, and Co-Founder, Dr. Sunny Tsao, and VP of R&D, Dr. Mark Gilbert. Dr. Tsao, Dr. Gilbert, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Aaron.
Happy to have you guys. So before we get rolling, into the bulk of the meat of the interview, I want to get to know you guys a little bit better. And Dr. Tsao, I want to start with you. You know, we've talked in the past, and you're one of the younger founders that I've talked to. And just to give our audience a little bit of background, after earning your PhD in chemistry and molecular cell biology at UC Berkeley, you stayed there in academia for a year or so as a research scientist before joining the oncology-focused biotech startup Adherin as chief scientist for about a year. And then, bam, Ace Podia. So I'm curious about how you sort of came to launch this company just a few years out of your PhD program.
Yeah, so that would be first. The reason is that since PhD at Berkeley, I think for my life, there's a couple of things happened. And then so what I saw was that my grandpa, he died from liver cancer. And then my aunt, very close to me, she also got a lung cancer. And then so luckily she can have the surgery, and then currently she's okay. But we all know the cancer is still a formidable disease, and then really still to date no cure or very few that can be cured to date. So that's the that's kind of the since even the PhD. So 10, 15 years ago, and then from my PhD at UC Berkeley, I'm lucky to be in the lab that's at the interface of chemistry and cell biology. And then that's also my PhD is in chemistry and then also molecular cell biology. Mm-hmm. And then by the time from my research and then for my interest and then doing the work in the Bertozzi lab, that was on the using chemistry as a tool to study and then enhance biology or cells per se. And then by the time we see that to fight a very complicated disease like cancer, we need equally sophisticated army, and then we think that lies in cells. So cell is our building block of our body, and then our immune system composed of immune cells. So they are a very sophisticated and then well-trained army. So we see that they will, and then they can be the future, and then maybe provide us a cure, or maybe potentially some light shed into the oncology. So that's the very beginning, even at the PhD time, kind of already on the road towards making what we do or what Ace Podia do today. And then also during the PhD at the interface of chemistry and then biology, I invented ACC, so antibody cell conjugation. So it's a chemical conjugation to link the antibody to the cell. Mm-hmm. So it's really very few research before us that's doing the chemistry on live cells, because traditionally they are viewed as a different territory. So chemists doing chemistry, cell biologists doing cell biology. And then I think we're a pioneer, the Bertozzi lab and then a couple of the chemical biology lab. We started doing things that kind of combine the chemistry and biology. And then so that's the core platform we develop, using the chemistry, chemical conjugation to enhance the immune cells. And then by the time I think still as a chemist, for me, I was hoping to, if it's really a beneficial and then potential product or platform, at least to me, I hope that can benefit patients. So that leads towards my my couple more year research, and then the and then also the chief scientist, and then start Aspodia. So kind of the evolution, I would say, from my PhD career and then life, from the time set for the for the ambition, and then also the professional expertise in using the chemistry to enhance cells, to enhance immune cells, to help them fight cancer.
Yeah. What was the most difficult thing for you, Dr. Sal, when it came to kind of moving from the lab, from that, you know, very, very science oriented position into a position of entrepreneurship, you know, starting a company and all that came with it? Tell me about that transition. What was going on in your mind, and what you found particularly challenging about launching a business around this, the science that you played such a hand in producing?
So I think that's really a learning process. And then the challenges, I would say, is really a transition from academia to industry. And then the challenges we encounter, and then also we see that will be the more on the production side, the manufacture. Mm-hmm. So for us, do the science is what we're good at. And then also even to date, Aspodia, we have a 25 employee, mostly at master and then PhD. So we are really a very strong R&D engine. So that's I do for a very long time. So I know how to do that. However, for the manufacturer, that's going to the industry. So in manufacturer, we outsource to a contract manufacturer organization. So we outsource to a factory to make that. So that become different because now we become manager. We need to manage that factory to make the product. So I still clearly remember the only one time I remember I yelled, maybe I get a little temper when all this year, since I found Aspodia, was yelled at the timeline they delayed make our product.
Yeah.
So control within our lab versus working with the CMO is quite different. So that's we see that's a step jumping into the industry. So that's it's a collaboration, it's a management, and then it's also education. And then the but gladly, I think not only me but with my team, we were able to overcome those challenges. Actually, eventually it's a very good outcome, so that we learn, and then also with the guidance from my co-founder and then also our senior management, we were able to eventually work with the CMO, educate the CMO, and then collaborate together, and then also on certain level also manage and then overview the process to make the product actually being made and then made successfully. And then that's I think the outcome is good in that we overcome this challenge and then also learn from the process. In the end, we got our product made in GMP grade and then also got the clearance from FDA. So definitely that's kind of approval for the quality, and then we can use those product to treat cancer patients in the clinical trials.
I just have one quick follow-up on that. I'm dying to know when Dr. Sunny Sal gets angry at his outsourcing partner and he decides he's going to yell, what language does Dr. Sal yell in?
So I think I remember that I was saying the timeline delay was due to I think it's an error or accident that can be prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the first thing I said was that I remember it was something like it was unacceptable. Yeah. And then I start talking about why this shouldn't happen, and then this is a big impact for making the product, and then how we should do better, and then find the root cause, and then also the next time we can make sure it doesn't happen, so that we can keep our timeline and then make the drug that patient hope to benefit patient, right? So we have a mission that bigger than ourselves, and then I remember that's probably in my memory that's what I said when the accident happened.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm sure whatever language you said it in, they heard you loud and clear. Dr. Gilbert, I have a question for you. So you were the chief medical officer at Juno Therapeutics. So yes. You have experience in big biotech. What made you decide to go to Ace Podia a few months ago, which is a smaller biotech?
Very good. Well, Aaron, I think Juno would have thought of as a small biotech, but I appreciate the contrast.
Well, just to interrupt real quick there, Dr. Gilbert, before you get going there, you also spent some time at Bayer Sharing, correct? Like you've got some big bio.
Yeah. Oh, I was in big pharma. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. In fact, I've been kind of in the immune oncology and cell therapy space for nearly 30 years now. The last of which, as Aaron said, was at Juno Therapeutics. For me, Aaron, there's a couple of things that really motivated me to want to join Ace Podia. One is having seen really a tremendous success with CAR T cells, particularly CD19 directed CAR T cells in hematological malignancy. It was clear that all this work I had done, both academically and with others in industry, had a real benefit to patients in using cells to treat cancer. Mm-hmm. But what has been a real challenge in part is making that transition for CAR T cells into solid tumors. And this is widely known. It's not that you can't see responses, it's just not as robust with the technology we have today. Now, like others, including Sunny, my family has, you know, lived with, battled cancer in a number of different ways, lost that battle. I'm very motivated to try to get cell therapy to work in solid tumors. Mm-hmm. The challenge before us with any cell therapy is that, and I'm going to go kind of high level here, that we treat solid tumors or cancer as if it's one thing. And even if we choose breast cancer or lung cancer, these are now 20 to 25 different diseases with a myriad of different agents. Mm-hmm. Well, why is this important? Well, if you're going to bring a cell therapy in, one of the things that would be critical to having that have an impact early is integrating into the treatments that we have, rather than treating at the very end of the line for treatment for any setting. What Ace Podia has developed in developing a manufacturing process that's very simple, it's very straightforward within that, and as a result becomes cost-effective, is the fact that you could deliver these cells integrated into these other therapies, because now we're not paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for an agent. Obviously, I don't want to do something to disrupt that therapy if I'm paying that much money. And I think this is a critical step that many have not fully appreciated in making these very technically sophisticated therapeutics. I encourage my colleagues in the field to continue to move that frontier forward. But in the immediate term, there is a real need to improve upon these therapies. I think Ace Podia has a platform that can do that. That's what's motivated me.
Good.
You know, it brings up, Dr. Gilbert, you brought up, the fact that this is a sophisticated therapeutic, and it's a good pivot point to shift back for a couple questions I have for Dr. Sal around, The business of biotech seeks to sort of help and educate your biopharma peers around the development or building of the business, right? So when you're building this business around a differentiated, sophisticated therapeutic, Dr. Sal, and you're looking to build the team, what's challenging about finding appropriate matches in terms of, well, people like Dr. Gilbert, for instance, you know, to bring on board who get it, you know, who fall in line, who understand the mission, not just the mission, but the science behind it. What's challenging about that, and how do you overcome it? Finding matches as far as building the team is concerned.
So I think the it is a critical mission for us since the very beginning from number wise from 1 to 10 to from 1 to 10, 10 to 20, and then now 25. It's just the for us the experience that the it's really the great team or a very dedicated team can make things work. So that the so that's always been our focus, and then the and then to find the right people, I think there'll be for us, because we start as more of a science focus or science driven company. I think for most of the talent, and then our very strong and experienced leadership, for example, Mark, that would be to me, first thing is through the science we do, and then the platform we developed, and then the to see if it's really of interest, or is it exciting, or as a potential tool for the oncology. I think for us mostly, no matter is the scientist or even our operation people, a little bit I will be the or up to the senior management. For us, that seems like kind of diffuse from the scientific talk, and then the we definitely see the if the our team member and our existing member have the if not the same but similar frequency in doing things and in thinking things. I think for us, we focus on the teamwork and then communication and then also transparency, so that the within and also I think within the whole team a very good environment we have is that we can very open to communicate things and then share our thoughts and then to make the better product and then also the better company. I think it's essentially important for us because our platform is very versatile. The ACC, which we talked about before, and then the briefly we can conjugate any antibody to the immune cells. So the antibody serves as a meso guidance system, can guide the immune cells to kill the tumor cells, and then the they become a good option we have is that there are plenty of the antibody, plenty of those targeting device we can choose. So which one to choose, for example. That needs not only one brand, but many brands go into this thinking process, and then the go, no-go decisions to be made. I think it's very good is that through our talent recruiting or engage the strong and the experienced leaders, senior management team is all on this first science-driven, and then second can share the same core value to be openly discuss, communicate, and then the and then have the same goal to make eventually a better or a more potential product to help patient.
Mm-hmm. Was there something particularly? I want to kind of bring both of you into the conversation. Was there something particular strategic about the timing of bringing Dr. Gilbert on board? Just a couple of months ago, Dr. Gilbert, did you join?
Yeah, you're going to test my memory here now, Matt. I think it was a little bit more than that. It was almost 6 months ago, but short. It's relatively short. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, as Dr. Sao, as you're talking about sort of the development of the therapeutic and bringing, you know, talented brains onto the project, 6 months ago when you were bringing Dr. Gilbert on board at that time, that specific position, VP of R&D, was there is it a sort of a strategic point in the maturity of Asapodia that kind of, I guess, predicated his joining the team?
Yes. So that's also be the timing we become a clinical stage company. So that the we got our R&D approval in January this year. And then we start our clinical trial in the U.S., MD Anderson, and then other cancer centers, Q2 this year. So that's the time we see that we become a different stage, the next stage of the phase of the company. And then we clearly know treating human is different from treating mice. I would say I'm an expert in treating mice. probably cure a couple of mice. However, I'm smart enough to know that I'm not an expert or with AMD. So that the I think that's another thing that I didn't mention is that to make it to work, it also we need a multifunctional team, and then the I think the contribution go to my co-founder Dr. Pei Yan, our executive chairman. He definitely also have more experience in the industry in Juno and then Roche, and then I work with him to be our leader, and then the we kind of can foresee what function and then what talent we will need for different aspect of the company, including clinical, including operation, including manufacturing, including regulatory, and then all together to make it to work, because the because it is for us the new drug development or the new drug industry, those are all needed to finally get the can push a product forward.
The business of biotech is brought to you in partnership with Cytiva. Together, we're committed to helping the leaders of new and emerging biopharma companies navigate the financial, organizational, human resources, and regulatory waters you'll encounter on your way from discovery to the clinic and beyond. Check out a host of useful resources for biotech leaders at Cytiva's Emerging Biotech Accelerator at cytivalifesciences.com/emergingbiotech. That's CYTIVA lifesciences.com/emergingbiotech.
I'd add to that, Matt, just in saying that it felt like when I came into the company and was working with both Sunny and Pat, that there were sort of two inflection points. One was exactly as Sunny was saying, we were becoming a clinical stage company. And obviously that has a number of different changes for any organization in getting that expertise in, setting up those trials in a regulated environment, and particularly in the United States. But the second pivot point is once a cell therapy company has kind of been able to go through both the development for the manufacturing and process development for a product once, and also has done the non-clinical work that's necessary to enable an IND, you're starting to think ahead about what are other product candidates we could be considering. And I think one of the key steps, obviously this continues through the life of a company, but was basically starting to ask the question about what about other platforms? What about other targets? And this is really where Asopodia has been focused now, and I think really has been building out, I'll call it a portfolio. I might be overstating a little bit, but we certainly have our proposed portfolio around that and building on that in the laboratory today.
Sure. That actually is a nice segue into my next question, which is pipeline related. Dr. Sal, I'll start with you. Earlier in the call, you mentioned ACC, and I want to get a little bit deeper into that. Tell us about your ACC and CAR programs, and then what's in the pipeline, what indications are you targeting?
I'm sure. So I think I'll start and then also prioritize ACC. So ACC stands for antibody cell conjugation. So it's a direct chemical conjugation to link antibody to the immune cells. And then the antibody, as I mentioned earlier, it serves as a missile guidance device. So it can guide the immune cells to recognize and then bind tumor cells, and then for the immune cell to kill the tumor cells. And then the advantage lies in several aspects. One is it's a chemical conjugation, so it doesn't require genetic engineering. So that make the whole manufacturing process very simple and straightforward. And then that leads to the lower cost of good, and then be more affordable cell therapy drug. And then the second is that we can conjugate many actually hundred thousands of antibodies, so hundred thousands of the targeting device on the immune cells. So they really have many weapons to say that can recognize, find tumor and then kill tumors. So that's greatly enhance their potency against tumor cells. So in that two aspect for our ACC product, and then with the this missile guidance system, we can plug in the different ones for them to target different tumor. And then the first one we developed in our pipeline, 1702, that's antibody, this guiding system that target HER2, and then that would be used for mainly the GYN cancer, including breast, endometrial, ovarian, and then and many others. And then the second one is the one we developed 1975. So instead of conjugating anti-HER2, we're conjugating anti-CD70 antibody to the immune cells. And then for that, anti-CD70 allow us to target renal cell carcinoma, AML, and then also leukemia and lymphoma. And then third is conjugating another one for the for different tumor, for example, the PD-L1 antibody. We conjugate that antibody to the immune cells, and then that product can be used for the lung cancer, liver cancers, melanoma, and others. So that the so that's what we see, and then also leading to what Mark previously saying, we kind of spend much time on which targeting device we should put on, and then when we put on, does that help solve the or provide a benefit to the unmet medical needs? And then those products, do they make sense? And then scientifically, and then also benefit for the patient. So that will be the kind of the pipeline on the ACC. And then through our development, we also developed our proprietary NK and then also gamma delta T cells. So those are two immune cells we developed. And then there's also advantages coming with them in that we develop those cells. They have minimal expression of the inhibition receptors and a high expression of the activation receptors, in that they will be also a more suitable or better cells to be used for the solid tumor, because they will be not, or they will be very hard to be inhibited by the tumor cells. So that combined, these powerful immune cells and then also the targeting device, the ACC, that compose majority of our pipeline.
Good. Thank you. I want to talk a little bit about Ace Podia's mission, which is a really good and interesting one, kind of, you know, given the space, which is you're talking about dramatically reducing the cost of cell therapy development, manufacturing, and administration. How is Ace Podia actually doing this? And I want to, you know, invite both of you to answer that question. Dr. Gilbert, we can go with you.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things that I'm going to mention within not only our manufacturing, but there are technical aspects just to make sure that the effector cell type, which is a natural killer cell in essence, that we needed in order to bring this forward economically. And the one piece I'll start with is a challenge that was seen in the field early on with NK cells, natural killer cells. They're different from T cells, but they're an innate, meaning a pre-standing immunity in the body. They didn't freeze and thaw well. This sounds like a very simple step, but if you can't do that, then you're stuck manufacturing on site. You can't actually create a product that you could send even potentially around the world. So Ace Podia solved that. And that, as simple as this sounds, that is a big step. Mm-hmm. But the two key pieces I actually wanted to talk about from a technology standpoint is I've always been struck at the simplicity of the production of our effector cells from the cell line that we use. It's a high selection process, pulling out this very rare population of cells. that basically has already preset itself in the configuration that we would want it in as a therapeutic. There is much effort that's spent trying to genetically modify cells to do the same thing. But you can, I think, appreciate how simple that can be if there's a nature sort of has a, an analog of what you want straight away and just harvesting that off. But I also want to talk again about the ACC platform. This is remarkably straightforward to actually put an antibody onto activation receptors on these cells. It's basically what we try to do with a CAR, a chimeric antigen receptor, except we genetically engineer it in. There are many challenges in trying to make CARs. It takes a long time to make them. This process can be done. Sonny will know the exact time, but it's hours. It's something that really just, it's just in a different sphere altogether from the standpoint of these different steps. So I know Sonny's got a lot more information than I on the manufacturing side of it, so I'll turn it over to him.
I think just following up of what Mark has mentioned, so the ACC, it's a chemical conjugation, so it's a chemical process. And then it's really a two-step. One step is that we put the linker on the antibody. The second step is that we put another linker on the NK cells. And when we mix two of them, they kind of like a Velcro system. They will bind to each other, and then we can link the antibody to the NK cells. So that this is a very simple and straightforward process. It will only take 2 to 4 hours to make this construct. And then also because it's only two step, so that the cost will be very, very low because it's a very, very simple and then easy process. I think in comparison to the genetic engineering ones, that usually require longer time, and then also require the virus. And then probably the most is that because it changed the genome of the cells, so that there will be much more QC assay you need to do. You need to make sure the cell doesn't become malignant or doesn't get changed in the way that's not desired, so that there will be a lot of the QC is quality control, so there will be a lot of the quality control assay that need to be implemented for the genetic engineering method to engineer the cells. However, in contrast, what we do is more straightforward and then more mild way in some degree to link the antibody to give them the targeting device, and then to can target and then kill the tumor cells.
You hit on a couple of points there, Dr. Sal, that I want to try to drill down on if we can. And these may be difficult questions to answer at this point, in your clinical journey. But if you look at this reduction, just you look at two things, time and cost. You've referenced time and cost. You know, less time, lower cost. Are you able to project at all, like quantify the potential cost savings, the potential time savings? You mentioned, 2 to 4 hours as opposed to potentially weeks or months. Can you further quantify what you anticipate? I know it's kind of forward looking, but can you further quantify what you anticipate in terms of savings of time and cost?
Sure. So so making that is 2 to 4 hours. However, the product, as Mark was mentioned, because our product can be cryopreserved. So we actually made them and then shipped to the hospital. And then when the patient need to use, so clinician can just thaw a vial and then infuse the drug directly. So this is so-called off the shelf. Mm-hmm. So that the making that, although it takes hours, however, it's actually an off the shelf product. So from the patient perspective, he or she doesn't need to wait. When the clinician or the patient they need or they want to use it, they can just get it from the shelf and then use it. So that's regarding the time. So from the patient perspective, they don't have to wait for the drug being made. And then for the cost perspective, I think the for the current cost at our current manufacturer, which is currently a small scale for mm-hmm. For the clinical trial, currently if we consider 1 billion sales as one dose, that's about $2,000 per dose. And then we foresee that if the if we go to the large scale commercial scale, the cost can be further trimmed, and then that will become probably around $500 to $1,000 per dose. So that will be the projection on time and cost.
Sure, Dr. Sao, as we're talking about manufacturing at scale, you know, what do you anticipate the most challenging aspects of that to be? And what are your plans or thoughts to overcome those challenges?
So I think the bigger challenge is also the thing that we haven't done. As I mentioned, that's currently we're small scale, but even we call small scale, that's already one GMP run provide more than 200 billion cells, but we still call that small. So the future, if that's in the large scale or we call commercial scale, that will be trillion cells per run, per manufacturer run. And then the challenge will still lies in the scale up. Although sometimes we say you can make one cells become 100 cells, you can make 100 cells to become 10,000 cells. But sometimes that work on math, but at the manufacturer it will take some effort. So to scale up, because that become, they will be in the bigger bioreactors, they will have more reagents, and then there's a thermodynamics and then also kinetics going into it. So that even if they be in the same concentration of media, supplement, and then reagents, the kinetics may be different because now you have bigger volume and then more cells, and then you need to rotate them or spin them so that make them become homogeneous. And then those will need to be addressed and then solved. Although we can be 100% sure that we will make it. However, we are quite confident because we actually made from I think from 50 mil and then to 5 liter and then 20 liter now 200 liter. So the final step is from 200 liter to 2,000 liters. I think it's still a critical step that we need to come across, but we're confident in that we kind of already doing this scale up from the lab to the current manufacturer scale, so that I think we have learned in the process the properties and then the tendencies of our cells, and then we hope and then we think we can make it to put them in a larger scale, 10 times into the 2,000 liter bioreactors.
Dr. Gilbert, I know your response to this question may be a bit guarded because your boss is in the room. would you agree?
Well, now that I know, he'll yell at me. Yes.
Would you agree? So six months on the scene, would you agree with Dr. Sao's assessment of the next big challenges that lie in front of Ace Podia, or would you add anything to that list? You know, as the guy responsible for R&D and where the product's headed, when you kind of step back and look, anything else you'd kind of add?
Yeah, I think two points. The first I want to just add on the manufacturing side, one specific point. Sunny is making the scale up sound very straightforward and simple. Certainly within their hands, they have done that. That's actually the proprietary process we have. That it is there are several patents around this. It took time to develop for sure. And for any cell therapy company, this is probably the biggest thing, whether it's individualized cell therapy or if it's so-called off the shelf. But I appreciate your question as well, because the real next big step for us is clinical proof of concept. And as we mentioned earlier, we're a clinical stage company, but we're just in the early phases of our first in human trial with ACE 1702. This is the as people may remember, this is the HER2-directed product that we have with the NK cell effectors. Some may think that, you know, HER2 as a target has already been covered by many companies, both through monoclonal antibody therapies as well as what's known as antibody drug conjugates, antibodies that are attached to a chemotherapy element. But the truth is that cell therapy actually brings in an additional amplification where the ACE1702, we're hoping, in fact, we've shown in the lab, but we're hoping in the clinic it will translate, can actually treat patients with very low levels of expression of HER2. And this is not feasible with the products that are in the market today. And it all has to do with the fact that a cell surface can bring many of these receptors together and pick off even sparsely related HER2 on the cell target and thereby kill the tumor cell. So we think there is a real opportunity to see our clinical proof of concept in the trial we have running. But it is something that I think is the next big step for us. Yeah. Because as we've described, once we have that we can show conceptually that the platform works well, all of these other portfolio pieces that we were talking about earlier start to become much more feasible to take into the clinic as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's we're running short on time, and I think that's a fine place to wrap things up. I have to tell you, I it's inspiring work. I covered it was probably before you were on board, Dr. Gilbert. I interviewed Dr. Sow, I think back in maybe June, and there's been a lot of progress with your company since then. It sounds like you're heading into a very exciting and busy time in Q1 2021. We're going to be paying attention to you guys, rallying for you, hoping those first those clinical proof of concept studies, first in human, hoping that goes well. We'll be paying attention. And encourage you to keep up the awesome work.
Very good. Well, really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you. It was our pleasure.
Our pleasure. We thank you guys for joining us, and we'll do it again. We'll do it again. We'll check in with you when we've got some more to report. But in the meantime, that's Aaron Harris, Dr. Sunny Sow, Dr. Mark Gilbert at Ace Podia. I'm Matt Piller, and this is the Business of Biotech Cell and Gene Therapies edition. We're produced by Bioprocess Online in partnership with Cytiva. If you don't know Cytiva, by the way, you should. The company, formerly known as GE Healthcare Life Sciences, is committed to new and emerging biopharmas like Ace Podia. And that's proven out at their virtual biotech accelerator at cytivalifesciences.com/emerging biotech. That's cytivalifesciences.com/emerging biotech. Go check that out. And check Aaron and I out at bioprocessonline.com and cellandgene.com, where we encourage you to sign up for our newsletters. In the meantime, like and subscribe to this podcast, please. And thank you for listening.